Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
SoCal's Country Station, 95.1 K-Frog. I'm Pepper. This is Spirit of the IE. Marianne Klein was born in Budapest, Hungary in 1932 and is one of the last living survivors of World War II. She witnessed firsthand the atrocities of war and has now penned her life story in a heartbreaking and inspirational memoir. On a snowy winter day in 1945, at the age of 12, she barely escaped her own death, only to witness the execution of hundreds of Jews by the side of the Danube. Running, starved and shoeless, through the streets of Budapest, All the Pretty Shoes is the story she survived to write. She's on the line to tell us more. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Marianne, tell us a little about your background growing up and your experience in the war.
Well, I was born in Budapest, Hungary, in the 30s, and from very loving parents. But unfortunately, my mother died of tuberculosis when I was 11-ish, 12-ish. And then the war broke out, and by the age of 13, actually, I also lost my father. The Nazis took him away and into the concentration camp. So I was left by myself. I didn't have any relatives to take care of me because they were also taken. So from the age of 13, 14, I was pretty much on my own to survive, and I had some difficult times, of course, overcame some killings and rapes and hunger, but I survived. As a matter of fact, you know, the fire that we had last week in California, I was thinking as I was sitting in the living room, what a horrific fire destruction it was, and I was reminded of World War II when we had the same thing. The only difference was that our tragedy was caused by people, whereas now it was by Mother Nature. But I was thinking that in my lifetime, when I was young and during the war, I had known many life-threatening dangers as a child, had seen tortures of people and killings, and had escaped from execution and rape, and suffered from extreme poverty and hunger. I was also the victim of prejudice and hatred, and experienced total solitude, homelessness and loneliness, and was deprived of my family and love and education. But despite of all my challenges, I hold no grudges, because I've learned that the secret to survival is to believe in oneself and to keep a positive attitude instead of surrendering to the dark side of life. I created my own light by offering kindness and love to others. And that became my philosophy.
Tell us about your memoir, All the Pretty Shoes.
The memoir I wrote exactly the way it happened to me in World War II. My mother died of tuberculosis. I was put in an orphanage, and the orphanage was occupied by the Germans who occupied Hungary. So we were sent out into the street, and I lived with my father until my father was taken from me. And from there on, I became just a victim of the war. You know, I kept on hiding from the Germans. I lived by myself. I had nothing to eat and had to judge the Germans and killing. And then I had to judge the Germans and the Russians and the people who liked young girls. I was constantly pursued by pedophiles. So it was a very difficult life for me. But because I came from such a good family background, my family loved me so much, I really had a good basis to fight back. I was determined that I was not going to let the Germans kill me, so I hid myself until after the war. And my book tells you about how I looked for my father and couldn't find him. And then I joined the Zionist group, which was an organization that protected orphans, Jewish orphans, to be transferred to Israel. But I didn't want to go to Israel, so they transferred me to France. And from France, I just became a member of the welfare society. The welfare in France had helped immigrants to save them from starvation. They gave us pocket money for food. They boarded us in schools, in hotels. And then finally they sent us out to Canada for adoption. That's what my book talks about how I survived all this, how I hid myself, how I escaped from being raped, and how I overcame starvation, and I was completely infested by bugs, how I cleaned myself. It's just a book of survival. That's what it is.
You've been through so much. What are some particular memories that really stand out to you?
The loss of my father was terrifying because I watched him being beaten and shoved into a truck, and I knew that I was never going to see him again because I knew that people were being killed, and that was the worst moment of my life. I mean, to lose my mother was terrifying, but at least she died in a hospital. But my father was tortured, and that was probably the worst moment of my life.
I'm speaking with Marianne Klein, one of the last living survivors of World War II. Has it been difficult sharing your personal story and being so vulnerable about your past?
It's very difficult to go back into the history. I don't like doing that, and I'm very intimidated by that because I don't want to feel like I'm complaining or crying. I survived. I'm very proud of myself for having survived. And I survived because of my parents' upbringing. And I always had a positive attitude. And my father used to take me to the movies. And I used to go see Shirley Temple. And Shirley Temple became my idol. And I used to visualize myself being another Shirley Temple, someone who was cute and everybody loved. I wanted to be loved like Shirley Temple was. And I had a dream that one day I was going to come to America and I'm going to have all the comforts that Shirley Temple had. Shirley Temple had a movie where she was orphaned, and I was thinking, oh, I can do this. I'm an orphan, but I'm going to be found, and people will love me, and I will survive. So that was my strength. I had a lot to thank for Shirley Temple, and I have a visit in images. And I also had a lot of dreams. One of the things I wanted to do when I immigrated to Canada, because I couldn't speak English, I wanted to be a jazz singer. I wanted to be Ella Fitzgerald. I wanted to be Doris Day. I went to contests and tried to sing. And then I finally became a fashion model because that was the easiest thing I could do since I had a language barrier. Those were moments that I remember very fondly, and that made me. And of course, I got married at age 16 and had two children by the age of 18. So that kept me busy. So it was very difficult for me to write my memoir because I had to remember all the past that I didn't want to remember. I tried to wipe out that horrific image that I had at the Danube when they were massacring the Jews and they were shooting them point blank and they fell into the water. I remembered having been captured and being kept as a prisoner in a park. We were all lined up and they were beating people up. And there was this old man with white hair. They beat him over the head and his blood was running down his white hair. And I just can't erase that image from my mind. So those are the bad part of my life, but the good part is that I've always been a survivor, and I had two wonderful children, And the problem was that I married the wrong person because I didn't know what I was doing. And my husband at the time kidnapped my children, so I lost my children for a few years. But when we found each other again, that was wonderful.
What is the ultimate message you want people to take away from your book?
The ultimate message is that you should never give in. You should never give up hope. You should always try to do your best and be kind and not be judgmental about people, about their religion, about their color of skin, about where they come from. I think we should all accept each other. I could never understand as a child why I was being hated for my religion. I didn't even know what my religion was, and yet I was being persecuted for being who I was. So I hope with all my heart that people will understand that love is the only way to survive. You can't go on hating and winning. It's not a winning formula. Love is the only way that you could survive.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm speaking with Marianne Klein, one of the last living survivors of World War II, about her memoir, All the Pretty Shoes. This is just the first book that you have written. Can you tell us about your other books?
Yes. The second book I wrote about is called My Lady Kelton's Secrets. This is semi-biographical. It's about a woman in her 80s who reflects on her youth. On her younger years when she was looking for romance, about falling in love, about with the right or the wrong people, about trying to survive and finding a career, about getting education, and all her romances and all her losses and her failures and her wins. And I think it's a very romantic book, and it's about life. It's just like All the Pretty Shoes. It's about survival of a person who has no family and she has to start life on her own from a very young age. And she becomes 80 years old and she reflects back on all those days. The second book is about a gambler's journey. It's a little bit about my father, who was a gambler, and my mother didn't want him to gamble. And when my mother was dying of tuberculosis, she paced me into a farm with a family to take care of me while she was in the hospital, and it happened to be a German family who hated Jews. And so I'm talking about how I overcame the young boy who was abusive. He was a young Nazi, and then how my father got me out of there. And my mother died, and my father had another relationship, and it was just at the beginning of war, and we were trying to escape from Hungary. And it's a little bit of fantasy and a little bit of truth. And the last book I wrote was called Farewell Paris, and it's my journey from Paris to Canada for adoption. And it's a book about all the young orphans after the war who learned how to get adapted to different life, different languages, different food, different style of life, trying to find their jobs, trying to find education, and always looking to belong, to get boyfriends and girlfriends, and just to have a family. So it's always about survival. It's always about different levels of life, of different levels of ages.
How would you like us to get your books?
All my books are on Amazon.com. All the Pretty Shoes, Gambler's Journey, Farewell Paris and Lady Kelton's Secrets. The four books are all available on Amazon.com.
I've been speaking with Marianne Klein, one of the last living survivors of World War II. Any last thoughts for us?
You know, I'm 93 years old, and I'm just not going to give up. I keep on working. I do a lot of paintings. I have a painting collection. I have some art shows. And I think the best way to get old is never to think about it. Just keep on moving forward and keep yourself busy. Keep yourself interested and be inquisitive and learn. Never stop learning and doing things. Try to find your inner selves, your creative inner selves. That's my advice for everybody.
Marianne, it has been such an honor to talk with you. Thank you so much for doing this for us.
Thank you for having me.